This is part 3, and also chapter 2, of Your Life is Their Toy, Merchants in Medicine, by Emmanuel Josephson from 1948. Chapter 2, The Medical Serf and Organized Medicine. Coercion of doctors into tribute is the secret of the present malevolent power of organized medicine. No attempt is made to mask this coercion. Thus, the Special Committee on New Members of the New York County Medical Society made the following report in 1933, published in the Medical Week of February 10, 1934. Quote, that membership in the county medical society be made more desirable to the younger men, so that they will find it advantageous to join instead of being coerced into joining, unquote. But the committee proceeded to recommend a new method of coercion. Quote, that the efforts of the Special Committee on Hospitals and Dispensaries be enlisted in the approach to hospitals for having membership in the County Medical Society, a prerequisite for staff positions. Unquote. In this manner, the fondest dreams of quote-unquote Doc Simmons have been fulfilled by his heirs. Coercion supported by law. The law has created for organized medicine many methods of coercion of the medical profession. In this, both federal and state governments have collaborated. The states have given the state medical societies direct or indirect control over medical licensure once again. The federal government, through the Emergency Relief Administration, delegated to committees representing the county medical societies its authority to appoint needy and destitute physicians to relief roles. These committees led the profession to understand that appointments might not be forthcoming to non-member physicians. Another coercive measure is an amendment of the Workmen's Compensation Act passed by the New York State Legislature in 1935. This amendment, which is clearly unconstitutional, restricts the injured in the choice of physician to a panel drawn up by the county medical societies. The city and state of New York have created such coercive devices as the following. The Commissioner of Hospitals of New York City, Dr. Goldwater, has made it a rule that the privilege of the use of the facilities of hospitals and appointments to hospital staffs shall be denied the physicians who are not members of the New York County Medical Societies. Thus, the hospital facilities provided by the community for its ill have been prostituted to organized medicine. In an act providing for the licensing of nurses, physicians who are not members of the New York State Medical Society were barred from signing affidavits that nurses must obtain from physicians to secure their licenses. A regulation issued by Commissioner of Police Valentine of New York City in 1939 extended the right of parking autos in areas forbidden to all others to the members of the New York State Medical Society and of kindred organizations. This means that only physicians who paid tribute to those organizations would be granted the privilege of rapidly reaching the bedside of patients in the forbidden areas. Most perfect is the method of coercion given the societies under the law passed by New York legislature in 1939, permitting the formation of quote-unquote non-profit medical indemnity corporations. The regulations established for the administration of the law by the state welfare and insurance departments give the societies the privilege of ousting physicians from the panel of those eligible on any pretext that they devise. A more perfect setup for the rackets of organized medicine could hardly be conceived. It will hold the profession's purse strings and extract and extort what it wills. The medical societies are taking full advantage of these laws and regulations in coercing physicians to join their ranks and do their bidding. Extortion and intimidation practiced. Among the physicians who thus are being coerced and subjected to the extortion of the $20 or more membership dues of the county medical societies are the poorest members of the profession. They are the physicians who are forced by circumstances to seek relief, who are forced to content themselves with the absurdly meager fees allowed for workmen's compensation work. In order to become eligible for even these meager fees, the New York County Medical Society has demanded of its members that they sign away such constitutional rights as the right of quote-unquote privileged communication, unquote, which the law has provided to protect the interests of the patient, and the right to recover damages for injuries sustained as a result of any action of the society. Members also are compelled, on joining, to sign away their freedom of speech and publication. Non-members are robbed of these rights by a conspiracy between organized medicine and the press. The organization is an autocracy that reduces the individual physician to the status of a pawn and flaunts the law with impunity. Some of these laws and regulations not only offer stigma and affront to physicians who refuse to join the society, but also violate the Constitution of the state by illegal delegation of power. For the Constitution provides that the power to confer the rights and prerogatives of the practice of medicine belong to the State Department of Education. The discriminatory rights and privileges extended to the New York State Medical Society, a private membership corporation, exceed the power of the state itself. It eloquently bespeaks the impotence of the individual members of the profession and of the state itself against organized medicine that these laws have not been challenged successfully in the courts, in spite of their obvious unconstitutionality. This situation gravely concerns everyone who is subject to human ills. Let us stop and ask ourselves, quote, what is the meaning of this coercion of a group of supposedly intelligent men who are licensed to practice medicine by the state into a membership corporation whose charter states that it is primarily organized for the purpose of protecting the interests of its members, unquote. Obviously, it does not even do that. For if it did, it would not find it necessary to coerce the profession into membership. Structure of the American Medical Association. Organized medicine makes its bow to the nation under the banners of the American Medical Association, the American College of Surgeons, and local academies of medicine. Because of the coercive laws and regulations, tens of thousands of physicians have been forced to join the AMA. Its membership comprises about 116,000 physicians, or three-quarters of the profession, making it the largest medical organization in the country. The American Medical Association is built up of local, county, district, and state medical societies that are interlocked by officership and directorate with each other and with the National Association. Dues paid by the members of the county societies filter into the larger units and finance them. The County Medical Society is the cornerstone. It is a membership corporation. The qualifications for membership are a medical degree, the payment of annual dues, and the willingness of the officers of the organization to accept the members and his dues. Inasmuch as there is little reluctance in accepting dues, it is the dues which, as a rule, are the primary qualifications for membership. Neither competence nor reputability are signified by membership. On the contrary, the less reputable physicians invariably join to shield their malefactions. New York County Medical Society. The New York County Medical Society might be studied as a typical example of these societies. The sole privilege accorded to a member at large of the society is the privilege of paying dues and of attending meetings. The latter is seldom exercised because little or nothing of scientific value generally is heard at the meetings, which cannot be found in the older textbooks and literature. The presentation of papers before the society is regarded by its bosses as a mode of advertisement, or as a device for securing political advantages from other units of the organization. Presenters of papers are chosen chiefly for political and commercial reasons, not for scientific. The rarity of presentation of new discoveries, the officers of the society justify on the ground that, quote, the scientific preparation and level of intelligence of the membership is too low to permit understanding of new scientific discoveries, unquote. The true reason is the fear of the bosses that their reputations as authorities and their practices might be endangered by discoveries. Even discussion, if any is permitted, is limited to members of a clique whose names are advertised in the program. Late in the evening, there may be a call for general discussion after most of the members have either gone home to bed or fallen asleep in their seats. Seldom will a member rise to discuss the paper. When one dares do so, there passes through the hall a stir which awakens even the sleeping members. The daring one will be permitted a minute or two of discussion, which is rudely interrupted in the middle of a sentence by the gavel of a presiding officer with the remark, "Your time is up." I write from too many personal experiences. The daring or uninformed member has violated the unwritten rule that none of the rank-and-file members may participate in the proceedings and discussions. Unpleasant things soon begin to happen to him. He feels the vengeful hand of the society raised to enforce its discipline. Slanderous and sometimes libelous stories are circulated among the medical fraternity and among the public to the effect that the guileless or daring member is crazy or a radical. He is shunned and ostracized by timid colleagues, and reviled by bolder ones. If he is connected with a hospital or clinic, he may soon find himself ousted on the ground of incompetence, a stigma on his reputation. No effort is spared by the organization to undermine his vital asset, his reputation. The business meeting of the society is conducted in the same manner. When the chairman calls for old or new business, no member of the rank and file who values his reputation dares rise to propose a new measure. All business has been, quote-unquote, prearranged in committee by the political bosses of the society. If a member should arise to propose new business, he is promptly informed that no new business may be introduced directly on the floor or be voted on directly by the members present. It must be referred to the dominating committee. Medical elections. Nomination and election of officers in the society attain the height of absurdity in formalities. Under the constitution of the society, it is practically impossible for the rank and file of the members to pick their own officers. Nominations perpetuating the regime of the inner clique are made as, quote-unquote, prearranged by an officer of the nominating committee. Officers are elected 2 years in advance. The activities of the county medical society vitally affect a number of commercial interests, including milk, insurance, and others. The officers of the society are consequently carefully handpicked by agents of those interests who dominate the inner ring of the society. The preferred candidates are men whose affiliations and dependencies make them pliable and subject to influence and domination. The selections generally are made on the basis of hospital affiliations. To guard against upset at elections by independents, severe obstacles have been placed in the way of the nomination of independents in the society's constitution. In the case of threatened loss of control of the society by its established bosses, no crooked political device is neglected in the battle to retain it. I participated in such an incident as nominee in 1927. Heads of hospital staffs forced their subordinates to stand in line for hours on the penalty of losing their jobs and vote as they were required. There were well-authenticated rumors of stuffing of ballot boxes and of deliberately fraudulent counts. I was informed by a friendly officer of the society that I was counted out. It was then quite obvious that there were large financial stakes involved in the control of the otherwise apparently slumbering New York County Medical Society. The New York Telegram commented editorially on this medico-political situation as follows. December 7th, 1932. Quote, medical statecraft. Elections are simple things with the Medical Society of the County of New York. We note the official ballot of the recent election of that body. There is no chance for the voter to become confused as to his choice. Each office has one candidate, except in the case of the censors and delegates to the Medical Society of the State of New York. There were three candidates for censor, and the instructions say, vote for three. There were 10 candidates for delegate, and the instructions say, vote for 10. The voters were, however, permitted to cross out names of candidates not voted for. It remained for the doctors to simply statecraft beyond even the braves of Union Square. Unquote. Rewards of the medical serf. gag rule and steamroller prevail in all the activities of the society. The member who is not satisfied to be repressed by such rule is eventually either coerced into silence or suspended from membership on some pretext or another. What are the rewards of these bulldozed, spineless specimens of humanity who let themselves be coerced into membership and plucked of the annual dues in an organization so subversive of their own interests and so insulting to their intelligence? They are eligible to contribute their services, for which they are not paid, to clinics and hospitals generously provided for them by the activities of the County Medical Society. There, they may be permitted to treat patients whom, except for the existence of these organizations, they might treat in their offices for a fee. The physician who is in such quote-unquote good standing as to be permitted to render services gratis in the clinics dominated by the bosses of the society regards himself as fortunate. For the society has inculcated into the public mind, with the aid of the interested social service forces, the idea that the physician who does not bow to organized medicine and man its clinics is incompetent and is not to be trusted. The docile and acquiescent physicians are given the stamp of quote-unquote competence of the society. How untrustworthy is this stamp will be made clear. After he has rushed through his stint at the clinic, this quote-unquote fortunate member of the society is free to return to his empty office to gaze at four walls and develop claustrophobia. Few folks realize to what extent the psychoneurosis the medical profession develop in this manner is accountable for physicians continuing to work in the clinics year after year, in spite of the fact that they thereby destroy their livelihoods, gain nothing, and learn nothing. Returned to the solitude of his office, the doctor may turn on his radio, if he happens to be able to afford one, and listen to one of his quote-unquote masters, the favored of the inner ring of the society, advertise and publicize himself over the radio. But let him not dare to follow suit and himself make a radio broadcast. If by some accident unforeseen by the medical society, the opportunity should offer itself. The dual, quote-unquote, code of ethics declares that when the medical, quote-unquote, leader or boss makes a radio broadcast, it is a case of publicity for the medical profession. But when a mere member at large makes the same broadcast, it is publicity and advertising of himself. Should he drop into such an error, the member is summoned before the Comitia Minora, as the Tweed Ring of Medicine calls itself, and disciplined by suspension. The society seldom takes the more severe disciplinary measure of ousting an offender from membership. That would mean cutting off its income. Or, in the solitude of his office, Dr. Sucker may turn to his newspaper and read an article which has been passed and approved by the censor of his society, whose salary is paid from the membership dues which he and his ilk have paid into the coffers of the society. This article informs the public that the Cash and Carry Medical Center, where Dr. Sucker donates his services gratis, gives infinitely superior services to its patients than does a physician such as Dr. Sucker privately in his office. Or it may announce, on the basis of federal statistics on childbirth, falsified by inclusion of abortions, that Dr. Sucker and his confreres are responsible for the death of numerous mothers and are less competent to care for childbirths than our midwives. From this news, the public can only deduce that they should turn from competent obstetrical services only to Dr. Fleesum, Dr. Skinnum, and other members of the committee whose names are prominently mentioned in the publicity matter, or else have their babies in the wards of the Cash and Carry Hospital and Medical Center, where they will be cared for by Dr. Sucker and his confreres. And this concludes part 3 of Your Life is Their Toy, Merchants in Medicine by Emmanuel Josephson from 1948.